We're going to talk this afternoon about salvation is a perfecting process in the believer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these that's come out. I pray you help me to be a blessing to them in Jesus' name. Amen. There were three main points to this message on salvation, and I think you need to understand every one of them in order to fully appreciate the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. The first one was that salvation is a present possession in a believer. It's present. You have it right now. The Bible says that he that believes on the Son hath everlasting life and shall not come in condemnation. So it's a present possession. But, beloved, now are we the sons of God. I think I made that about as possibly about as clear as I could, that salvation is a present thing you have right now. And I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm glad I have it right now. Some folks think you get it, you don't get it until you get to heaven. I like the idea of having it right now. And then I talked about salvation is a protected possession for the believer. We don't protect our own salvation. I talked last week about the scripture says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. That's not talking about endurance will produce salvation. It's saying that real salvation will produce endurance. If you're really saved, you will endure. And so I think I covered that pretty good. God does the preserving. We are preserved in Christ. Our Calvinist friends believes in the perseverance of the saints. Well, I don't know about you, but perseverance, the very word itself, implies to me that you've got to do something. If you persevere in hoeing your garden, you're going to finish hoeing your garden, right? You're persevering. You're going to get it done, okay? Well, if salvation is by perseverance, that means that there must be some works involved in it. That you've got to do something in order to get your salvation. The Bible didn't teach that. It says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if a person could produce their salvation and keep their salvation by good works, they would boast and say, well, salvation is something that me and God has worked together on. No, it's not. It's all of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord, all right? Always remember that. You had nothing to do to get it. You will have nothing to do to keep it. You had nothing to do with it being a present possession. You have nothing to do with it being a protected possession. God does the protecting of your salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but I like that. I'd rather God... Which had you rather protect your salvation, you or God? Don't you think you'll take God every time? I will. If my salvation is protected by me, and I know me, and I know how I fail God so many times, then I'm going to say, well, no, Lord, I'd much rather for you to protect my salvation because I'm not always what I should be. But God is always the same. The Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says in the book of Malachi, I change not. And so God doesn't change, so when He protects our salvation, well, we can be assured it's going to be protected. And I made that plain in last week's message. But you need to also understand that salvation is a perfecting process in the believer. Now, the first thing, if the outline is there, we notice is the goal for the believer. What is our goal? As a believer, what does God expect us to be like? What is the goal we're shooting for? Well, I want you to know it's not salvation. The goal for the believer is to be like Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, you find that mentioned in the scripture I gave you, if you'll notice, please. Verse 13, chapter 4, Ephesians. Till we all come, we, speaking of all believers, come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's our goal? To be like Christ, the fullness of Christ. Okay? That's the goal for the believer. For instance, Romans chapter 8, and don't turn to it to save time, but in verse 29, the Bible says of Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. That's God's goal for us, is to be like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I fail at that. I'm not always like Jesus. But I'm working on it. Now remember, my salvation's already a present possession, or I have it. Number two, God's protecting my salvation, but God is perfecting me. Now, the question is, how is God going to protect, perfect me? How does He do that? How does God perfect us? Now, the word perfect, understand this, that it's not saying that, it's not talking about sinless perfection, it's talking about Christian growth and the maturity of the Christian. Just like a baby comes into this world and is a baby doesn't stay that way. They start crawling, then they become a little child, not long until they become a teenager, and then a little longer they become a young adult, and then, you know, they're in adulthood. Okay? That's the physical process. Well, the same process is in the believer. We're saved by the grace of God. That means that it's a present possession. Our salvation is protected, but God now expects us to grow. So that's my second point. Not only do we see the goal is to be like Jesus. The growth of the believer is the thing we're looking at. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Now let me say this. You that's here this afternoon, you are trying to grow. You are trying to mature. Those that do not come to an afternoon service or a Wednesday night service, they're really not interested in spiritual growth. They're really not. If they were, they would desire the sincere milk of the Word. And I'm not mad at those that are not here. I'm disappointed that they don't want to grow as a Christian. And so therefore, if they don't have any desire to grow, there's nothing I can do about it. All I can do is give the Word to those that want to grow. You will never grow spiritually unless you desire to grow, and you'll never grow spiritually unless you desire the sincere milk of the Word, which is the Word of God, unless you will learn more. What I'm doing is I'm feeding your spirit this afternoon to help your spirit grow spiritually so you can become more like Jesus Christ. If you don't grow, if your growth is stunted, then you will not become like Jesus Christ. Now, what does it take for you to grow? Well, first of all, it requires food. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You've got to have food. And if folks do not read their Bibles daily, if they do not go to church services and be taught and fed and preached to, they are not going to grow spiritually. That's just the truth. They are simply going to reach a plateau and never grow anymore. All right? It's kind of like this. You can have we went to the Golden Corral the other day. And, well, they got a sample of everything there. I mean, it's a good place. If you're hungry, go to the Golden Corral because you'll find something that you like. Got a good variety. But the Golden Corral can have all this food laid out there for you. Italian food, seafood, whatever kind of food pretty well that a person would want. They can have it all ready for you there and all laid out and it's all real pretty and it looks real good. But if you don't go to the Golden Corral, you're not going to get any of it. Right? It's there for you, but you're not going to get your stomach full. The same thing is true about the preacher or the Bible teacher that prepares a message. It's here for you, but if you don't want it and you don't want to be fed, there's nothing that the Golden Corral can do about it. There's nothing that I can do about it other than say, here it is, you come and get it. Of course, the good thing about spiritual food, it doesn't cost you anything. Well, it does cost you some effort, but it doesn't cost you anything as far as money is concerned. So it requires food. Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14 talks about the meat of the Word. After you've been on milk, you ought to grow enough in order to graduate to meat. In other words, if you're still stuck on John 3:16 and you've never grown any, you're just, I just don't understand what the preacher's talking about. That's just way too deep for me. Well, you're still a baby. That was the problem of the church of Corinth. They were still babies and they'd never grown spiritually. So what happened? The church was a baby church. Everybody were acting like babies. Listen, if individuals in the church do not grow, the church will not grow. It's just that simple. And it requires food. Then number two, it requires instruction. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. You've got to be instructed in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 16, we have a familiar scripture you're all familiar with. I'm talking about Christian growth. I'm talking about perfecting the believer. I'm talking about when you get saved, your salvation is a present possession. It's protected by God. But now then, God expects you to grow spiritually. There's a perfecting process going on. And the maturity process or the perfecting process requires food, the Word of God. Then it requires what we mentioned in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. What for? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. See, we're talking about perfection, maturity. We're talking about Christian growth. Thoroughly furnished into all good works. Now, everybody look at me up here for a moment. Here's what the Bible is saying. If we want to be perfected, that the man of God may be perfected, it's going to require food, and it's going to require instruction in righteousness. Now, this may be kind of heavy on a Sunday afternoon, and you've just eaten dinner and whatever. I understand that. It's hard to digest some meat. But here's what I'm talking about. When the Bible says here, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, instruction always has to do with a combination of encouragement and correction. For instance, Mrs. Skidmore, you've been teaching school now. I know you've been teaching here for at least 15 years, haven't you? 17, 18 years, see how time goes so quick. But in all, you've been teaching over 20 years, probably, counting public school instruction, whatever. And so what you do as a teacher is a combination of, boy, that's a good job, Billy. You did a good job on that test. Get out of that, Susie. Get out of there. Don't do that. You can't go out there. It's a combination constantly of encouragement and correction. You can't do that. You can't go there. You see what I'm saying? The same thing is true. Because why? Because you're wanting those little children to go to the next level so they'll mature, and then to the next level so they'll mature. And so one day they'll be profitable citizens of whatever city they're in. And it'll all be because Mrs. Skidmore helped perfect them. She helped mature them. Well, in a spiritual sense, that's what the preacher does, or the Bible teacher. I'm helping mature you because the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you as they that must give an account of you to God. I've got to give an account. Did I feed you? Did I feed you the truth? And so when people stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, that's part of this ministry that belongs to this church. And the Lord says, all right, your turn to come up now. Did Pastor Reynolds preach to you the truth of God's Word? Oh, yeah, yeah. So you were there every time they had church. You were there on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon and Wednesday night. You were there. No, I didn't get a chance to make those. Well, then it was there for you. So you didn't really get what you could have gotten had you been there. Mr. Skidmore can't teach the student that doesn't show up for class. And again, I hope you don't get the idea that I'm scolding you for those that's not here. I'm just saying you are getting a benefit of maturing and growing because I've spent time in the Word of God to help instruct you into righteousness. And if a preacher is what he ought to be, he's going to correct once in a while, and then he's going to commend once in a while. All right? It's constantly, you did a good job. You did a great job. Now, folks, we need to do better than this. You know, you need to stay away from this. Don't do this. Don't do this. See what I'm saying? It's a combination. So Christian growth requires instruction, whether it be positive or whether it be negative. Let me give you one more. It requires exercise. If you're going to grow a baby that cannot never crawls or never turns over or never grows to a point where they can walk or toddle or whatever they may be, that child, that's a sad situation in it. I remember years ago when we went to a church at Antioch Baptist Church. There were some people that had a little girl, and you would remember these people. They had a Butler, I think, was their name. And they had a little girl that just never did. They would carry her into church, and she would just limp like this. And she just never could walk. She got up to be 5-6 years old. He was a preacher, matter of fact. And this little girl just, he'd carry her. I just see her body right now. She's just a little limp body. It was sad. To when she got up to about Micah's size, to see him carry her in. And then they would just lay her down in the pew. And when it come time to leave, they'd pick her up and her little almost lifeless body. Now, I don't know how old she lived to be, but she never did mature as far as she didn't get any exercise. Right? So she had some kind of rare disease. The point I'm getting here is that if you're going to mature, you've got to have some spiritual exercise. For instance, let me give you these two verses and I'm done. If you look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, here's what it says. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then it says in the next verse, what Christ has worked in, what God has worked in. So notice the word work out. Does anybody here this afternoon work out? Let's all stand to our feet, please. Okay? Everybody stand to your feet that can. Okay? Put your arms down at your side like this. Okay? Come on. Help me here. All right, ready? All right, ready? We're going to put our hands out. Ready? 1, 2, 3, out. All right, back down. All right, you may be seated. We just done a workout. All right? That's a workout. Okay? That's an exercise. Notice Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What it means this is that we've got to exercise the salvation we have. We've got to work it out. God has worked it in, but how do you work out your salvation? How do you do that? Well, it's got to be in there before you can work it out. And God's the one that puts it in there. So you work out your salvation by being a practical Christian, not just a Christian says, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, but I don't care if anybody else goes or not. No, working out your salvation is witnessing to other people. Working out your salvation is praying. Working out your salvation is reading your Bible, being a witness, handing out tracts. You're working out your salvation. You see what I'm saying? It's in you. Now you're working it out. And if when you do that, your most happy Christians and most successful Christians and your Christians that grow the most are the Christians that's working out every day. When I was younger, I ran every day. I worked out. I probably paid the price for it because now I'm having trouble with the hips. But I was a paratrooper in the Army, and I did a lot of jumps, and also we did a lot of running. Now I think now at 67 years old, it's finally caught up with me. But even in the Army, they know the importance of you've got to stay in shape. You've got to work out. You've got to work out. And the older we get and the less we work out, the more weight we gain and our health begins to deteriorate. You all know that's true. The people that's my age knows that's true. It's because of entropy, the very fact that we, as we get older, time goes on, everything deteriorates. That's the way life is. But even doctors will tell you, if you'll have a little bit of movement, if you'll make yourself do a little bit, whether you work out or whether you, but if you just lay in bed all day long and never get up, you do that for 2 or 3 days and you won't be able to get up. You'll be so weak-kneed. You ever been that way when you've been sick or been in the hospital or something? You can hardly... That's why they get you right up anymore. And, boy, they get you going after you've had an operation in the hospital. Why? Because they know that exercise will produce strength. The same principle is true in regards to your salvation. You work out your salvation. The more that you serve God, the more that you witness for Christ, the more that you pray, the more that you read your Bible, the more tracts you hand out, you're working out. You're doing a workout. Just you're constantly working out. And the person that works out the most is going to be the person that is going to mature the most because it requires exercise. So, I'm not done. I'm going to stop there today. That's enough. That's enough to chew on right there. That if you are going to be perfected, after we get saved, God begins perfecting us. Now, I've got some future messages I'll talk about the final perfection. But right now, God is perfecting us. We are being perfected, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are perfected by the power of the Holy Spirit, that works through us as we obey God's Word. Now, the good news is it's already a done deal. We already have a present possession. We already got salvation. God's protecting our salvation. But God expects us to perfect our salvation by working out our salvation with fear and trembling. So I'm saying, not work to get it, but it's already in there, and we grow a little bit today, we grow a little bit tomorrow. By the time we get to be in our 60s, 70s, sometimes 80s or 90s, we ought to be a better Christian than we were when we were 40 and 30 and 20. We ought to have grown. And folks, the only way that's going to happen, that's why God established the local church. It's your place to come. It's your golden corral. Okay? It's your golden corral. And I'm the one that puts the food out. And you got a sample of everything. Whatever your liking is. If you don't like Ephesians, then why don't you try Matthew? If you don't like Matthew, why don't you try Revelation? You see what I'm saying? You've got a smorgasbord of choices there. It's here for you, but you've got to partake of it, and you are. And let me commend you for that. And you'll be glad when you stand before Christ. You'll be glad that you pushed yourself to come on Wednesday night. To come on Sunday school, morning service, afternoon. You'll be glad you did that. Not to earn your salvation, but to work out. You're working out, but you're doing it in a spiritual way. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention this afternoon.